Blog Talk Radio.
Life. Are you growing with it or feeling left out? Either way or in between, you're in the right place today with the host of Change Already, Your Future, Your Choice, Jillian. She's an award-winning author and radio personality. She's warm, she's fuzzy, and she's got an attitude.
I don't know if you're feeling the after effects of the software upgrade by Apple because of that whole thing with the new iPhone and the number 5 application or whatever it is. I don't know if you're all aware, but I use my iPad to do my show, and that's how I'm able to do it all over the world. And apparently there was a ripple effect this morning that started yesterday or today or something where all of the devices, my phone, the iPad, all of that stuff had to go through its natural upgrades of number 5. And it's like I am so not technically savvy. It's almost sad. What takes one person an hour usually takes me a couple hours just to figure out how to turn the doggone thing on sometimes. So, you know, as I was preparing for the show, I'm watching these upgrades and it's like, hurry, hurry. And now I have all these little icons at the top that weren't there before. And I have no idea how to do that. But, you know, so just know I feel your pain out there of anybody else that's having the upgrade on Apple. It's so fun to have technology, isn't it? One of those love-hate relationship things. We'd love to have it, but when it has it to do its own natural thing on its own, it's a little frustrating. When I was writing my book, Beyond the Pews, Breaking with Tradition and Letting Go of Religious Lockdown, I worked so hard to put every thought process, little notepads I had taken over the last 15 years of things I wanted to put in my book as it would be at some point in the future. And as I started getting into the writing of the book, I realized that I only had 250 pages to cram all this stuff into it. And I realized around chapter 3, I suppose, that the process was becoming bigger than myself, and I had to make some cuts and, you know, take out pertinent information, and then I had to go through that purging process of what should I keep in, what should I not keep in, and figure out how to make it all work, realizing that I was going to have to do subsequent books after this first one, which I was planning on doing anyway, but I just didn't realize it would be coming so soon. And I guarantee you that if you talk to any other authors out there in their debut books, I guarantee you they go through this similar challenge. I've talked to several other beginning authors, and this is apparently a common thread, that a dilemma through everything. And to be quite honest with you, I'm pretty happy with the edited version. I had some good publicists and editors around me that helped me. But I'm bringing all this up because in the last chapter of my book, it's entitled Your Spiritual Identity. And I had to face this real conflict within myself on this certain story that I had put in there about what was going on in the universe and spirituality as a whole, as a world organization or a world thought, and how it was changing. And at that time, it was when the preacher from the church, the Christian church, I believe it is, I'm not sure, don't quote me on that, I believe it was a Christian church in Florida, and the minister had decided to take a role in burning the Quran. And for those of you that don't know the Quran, it is the Muslim version of their Bible. And of course, it's very sacred, as our Bible is as a Christian. It symbolizes everything that they've lived their life through, and rightly so. And I was writing this paragraph about how the world has changed i.e. the Apple business this morning with the upgrades that we all went through, those of us who use Apple products, and how now we live, as I've been talking about, this new order. And in the book and in that paragraph, I specifically named that situation and how he was threatening to burn that sacred text and the outpour of disgrace and threats that were coming from the other side of the world in an area where the religion of Islam is very prevalent. And of course, they were outraged and threatened to do a lot of stuff back then. I took out that paragraph, but I left a few little insights in there, and this is what I was talking about, that a small community in Florida has a larger responsibility now for what they do, and a ripple effect that we've never had before in the world, which is through the internet and all of that, and the YouTube and everything else, and how our actions really do cause a ripple effect across the world now. You know, I've talked about so many times, I give a talk throughout the country about when I was growing up, our communities were our religious factions, and we were basically islands unto ourselves. Well, it's just not that way anymore. And now you would think that I would be against him doing that, but I'm really not against what he did, because, of course, we have all rights and we have lived for the opportunity to be able to articulate what we want to say to other people and that First Amendment right of to say it and freedom of speech. I absolutely believe in all of that. But in the book, I talk about how every one of us go through a life cycle when we are here. And this is the kind of idea that I want to talk to you about today with the what's going on. And for those of you that don't know, there was another incident in California where there's a movie being released and people on the other side in Libya took offense to what was in that movie and retaliated and killed the ambassador to Libya and several other significant people that were working there as soldiers to protect the embassy and such. And of course, we're all outraged, but here's the part that I've been thinking about with that whole thing. When you talk about spirituality, and I know that I don't like to separate religion from spirituality, but spirituality is a bigger thing that happens in one's life. When we start out as children, we spiritually are totally awakened to everything. In other words, for me, spirituality is something you feel inside your soul. It becomes wordless, and it really makes you feel like you are a part of everything that's going on in the universe. It's you feel your way through it, and as children, think back about how we felt when we were young. We were completely dependent on other people, and as we get older, those feelings kind of go away, and then we get into our intellectual mind, and we find more structure. And structure through education, our jobs, our careers, and our religious practices. What's supposed to happen in the majority of the world is that once you get your religious part of yourself, and I think that's extremely important in everyone's life, I don't think there's anything wrong with structure, but it's a building block that gives us something to build upon. And we're supposed to come back to spirituality, which means we have this essence of being connected to oneness. That's what people talk about when we can feel the essence of what's going on, good or bad, in the world for other people. And we feel like their well-being is just as important as our own, and vice versa. what happens in the world is there's some people that get stuck in the physical aspect, that intellectual part of the structures. They're unable to be able to be free-flowing in their own spirituality. And one of the things that I hear all the time from people is that you spiritual people don't have boundaries. If you don't have a text or something telling you right from wrong, or how you should be living your life as a good person, not hurting each other, living your life, adding value to your next door neighbors, growing children that are filled with love and not hate or shame or other kind of things. But if you don't have that in place, you're not able to live a life that's full of love and grace. Well, when I hear people say that, it throws up red flares to me because they're obviously not in that space of grace. If you have come full circle and you live a spiritual life rather than those that are stuck, as in the one that we're talking about, you can tell when people live a spirit life, they think about how it's going to affect the rest of the people around them. Now, they may still do it, understanding that there's repercussions for every action or behavior that we take. But there's a higher responsibility of understanding that if I do this action, this will cause another reaction. Spirituality adds to that when we are able to find that our own moral compass within ourselves, to understand that we are going to at some place be responsible for the actions that we take. I took out that example because it was too blatant for me, because at that time it was just a singular event. I'm bringing this up now because I'm starting to see a pattern. The one in California, and this morning I believe cartoons that were released in a newspaper in Europe. What is the point of all that? I understand that it's free expression, and by gosh, I will defend that because I am too. All of us want to have that available to us. But at what point does it become neglective of the spiritual aspects of trying to heal this planet? I know that they would assume the position that it is trying to heal the planet from their ego sense of the way they see the world, but it's also making it more challenging and difficult for the rest of us to stay in a place of neutrality and love when we see these kind of outrageous events. We can't control others, but we can certainly understand that our spirituality is bigger than an action in the physical world. There's always going to be people that choose to do that, but it's the reactions of how we see it within ourselves. At some point, these people stimulate us to be less than contemplative about it, and possibly take some kind of actions or thoughts in our own lives about it. It's a very dangerous path we're going down, and I'm not sure really how to get out of it, but I know that living a life of spirituality forces one to see himself in a sense of connectedness, that these people are missing that whole genre of knowing that heal thyself, heal others. You can't teach that to people. That's the problem here. We can only keep hoping that some event will come along that triggers them to go inward, deeper within themselves, and find that soul sense and feel the essence of what it feels like to be responsible human beings in a connectiveness sense of love and not stay in the ego sense of hatred. It doesn't work in the long run, and it has horrible consequences that we're seeing now. After the break, I want to talk about some intuitive things that are coming up. I always try to force myself to go past that, but my intuition is so heightened right now, I can't get it out of my head. So I want to talk about a few intuitive things that I see for the rest of the year, and I'd like to know if you have that same feeling. We'll be right back after this break.
Looking for more? Welcome back. Here's your host, Jillian, warm and fuzzy with an attitude.
Back to change already. You know what? I promised last week that I would choose a lighthearted subject, for goodness sakes. I don't know if you've all been listening to the shows the last couple weeks. It's been pretty intense, but by gosh, you know, what am I supposed to do? If the world's in flux, you know, you can't ignore it. And, you know, I love to talk about the issues at hand and what's going on. And so collectively, I suppose we're all in this state of transition and intense transition by the way you can tell what's going on in the universe. And I've been thinking about that. Well, there's several reasons that keep coming up in my head, but first I want to talk about what I'm going to do in the next couple weeks. I had such a good time doing my show from Cambodia. It was a personal achievement for me, and I hope you enjoyed the spontaneity of that show. As I told you, I was trying to capture the essence of going to Angkor Wat on air as quickly as possible so it didn't get diluted between all the drama and regurgitating all the fun and everything else to all your friends. You know how that is. You got to talk through it. But every time you do it, it kind of adds things. So I'm really enjoying doing the live presentations, and it adds a different dimension to the show, and that was the one reason I moved over to Blog Talk Radio and the power of the iPad that's now upgraded as of this morning. Anyway, I am going to the Heartland Fall Forum which is a book expo in Minneapolis, Minnesota, October 3rd through the 5th. And I am excited because I'm going to do it live again like I've been doing in New York City and Denver. And this time I'm going to use the publishers from Ice Cube Press, which is out of Iowa, and we're going to talk about Susan Murphy Milano's new book coming out, Holding My Hand Through Hell. I'm not sure if any of you know, but I'm sure many of you know that I am a Time's Up writer, and I've worked with Susan now for many, many years, and she has a new book coming out. And it just so happens that it is the book, the exact book drop is that weekend at Heartland Fall Forum. I'm so blessed. So I'm going to actually talk to the publisher on air live on my regular show Thursday, October 4th at noon, and we're going to talk about Susan's book, and it also happens to be Domestic Violence Awareness Month for October, so it's pretty kismet. You know, when you see those signals, as I've told you a million times, you got to go with it, and so I've been working on that the last couple of days from the last show. So look for the event on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else, and the details will be there. But I'm very excited that I get to help Susan get this book out. It's about tragedy and spirituality and coming full circle and a good cheer in the end for Susan. We all know that she's going through some difficult times right now with stage 4 cancer. And she's not able to be the spokesperson for her own book right now. So it's up to the rest of us to hold up the slack for her. I certainly don't want to speak for her, but I can certainly speak of her. And she is an incredible woman doing lots of things in the area of domestic violence and a spokesperson for those people that have lost their lives and the victims that are left behind. So I feel very honored and blessed that I get to do that on October 4th. And, of course, I'm doing a signing there myself with Wicker Park Press, who I just love, Eric Miller, and my publisher, Lake Street Press. So I will be there. And Imagine Publicity is doing the publicity and press for it. So look for all that stuff. She's great at getting the word out. And their organization does a real good job at informing everybody about what's going on. So let's go on to intuition. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, ever since I got back from Asia, well, I guess I should say before that, my intuition has been really heightened. And I'm sure that yours is in this whole awareness. And I think it's because of two elements that are going on, at least in America right now, which is the election that's coming up, of course, and then the whole big December 21st, 2012, supposedly beginning to the end doomsday, according to the Mayan calendar. And by the way, the Mayans are not too happy that we're tagging them as the culprits for starting all this. And if you really delve into the Mayan calendar situation on December 21st, it doesn't say anything remotely close to that. It does, however, talk about moving into a different era. And I believe that's what we're all feeling right now. It's that purging process before we move into the next evolution of spiritual grace and more, less physical and more of a spirit connection between people. We're moving towards a more loving community. And I know that's crazy to hear me say that right now with all the violence and hard things that we're looking at. But you know, like it's like pulling off a bad Band-Aid. We all have to look at what's going on underneath the surface before we can move to a stabilization of a higher ground. And I really think that's what we're all feeling. And a lot of people are asking me, of course, what to do about December 21st. And I'm staying steady on what I said several years ago on my show on FM radio. It doesn't really matter what happens on December 21st. It's about being prepared for anything that happens. that's just a way of life, right? I mean, I live in a climate that has severe weather. So, of course, I'm always trying to prepare and be ready for anything that comes our way. How is that different than the boat people I was talking about last week, in that it was their way and it's their natural rhythm to get ready and prepare? That's what we should focus on. And this feeling of agitation that a lot of people are having is because intrinsically we know that we should not be treating our fellow man like we're doing right now. We all know that. Whether that's your religious background, your spiritual background, it goes against every grain of our soul love that we were born into for all of us. That's the cool thing about that whole thing, is that we all have it within us, irregardless of what the physical body or what we choose to portray to the world. It's going to eat us, at us, until we start paying attention and listening to what we're doing. The problem at the moment is that we're all living with complicity. Complicity is our greatest adversary right now. Now, when I say complicity, I mean that we're just sitting back and waiting for the stuff to happen. It's like our putting our cars in idle neutral. I talk about living in neutrality all the time, but this is about taking action on the intuitive feelings that you're feeling in your own gut. What can you do to make it feel better for the community you live in? Being lazy is where we're headed to. And the universe and all of these events are waking up a part of us that has been dormant for a long time. It's calling each one of us to dig deeper and to figure out how we can stop this madness from moving forward to a place where we can't come back from. I don't think we're lazy. I think we're just confused on what we're supposed to do next. And that's why everyone's intuition is being heightened right now. It's because the answers for each one of our lives are inside us. We know what we need to do. We're just not doing it. Like people have told me all the time, don't ask me for the intuition answer to the question. Because if you don't plan on doing the action from the intuition statement I'm getting for you, don't ask me. That's where we're at as a collective whole in the universe. People are starting to take action. I have no idea what that means. But you can see pockets of anger and pockets of resolution. You can see it all over the world. Hang tight. It's going to happen and continue for the rest of this year. And then things are going to start to calm down a little bit. Next week, I want to talk a little bit more about this, and then hopefully I'll find something a little more lighthearted to talk about. And remember, you can go back to the Blog Talk Radio at Change Already with Jillian, as always, and listen to any of those podcasts that are in the archive section, or you can find me on Facebook. But I want you to keep this in mind between here and next week. Change doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be difficult, but it is necessary to grow. I'll see you all next week, same time, same place. Change Already, Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining Jillian today. Don't miss her famous at-home personal enrichment lessons. You can complete them on your own time to accelerate your personal change. They're simple and nothing like you've experienced before, just like Jillian. Warm and fuzzy with an attitude. So change already.